And good morning, and so glad that you're listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set right there at 89.9 as we are going to be with you for the next hour. And so we are coming to you live from the studio. I have my staff with me. David and Karen are in the studio today. Sherry's out in the front. We want to thank all of you who were a part of Prayer and Share. We had an amazing 2 weeks together and just had a miraculous provision of God. We're a little short, encouraging those of you who have not yet responded to go ahead and send in your donations. But I'm thrilled to have with me Rabbi Jonathan Kahn this morning, and we are going to be talking about, first of all, May the 1st, we have the National Day of Prayer coming, Rabbi, so you're going to be a guest with us. We want to welcome you now on the air.
Great to be back. Always great to be with you, and looking forward to being with you on the National Day of Prayer.
So for those who are listening today, you may be down in South Lauderdale, Palm Beach, Miami, you may be north up into Indian River County, out around Lake Okeechobee. Some of you have been at some of our previous National Days of Prayer. This year, we'll have a one-hour period of just focused prayer. There's going to be worship leading into that. It's going to start about 6 o'clock. Actually, the worship may start a little ahead of that, but from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we have an amazing lineup of just focused, spiritual, godly people that's going to be praying over our nation, over our region. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to be welcoming you, Rabbi, to come and speak. And what is the Lord saying to you before we get into the dragon's prophecy and some of these other things we're going to talk about? What is on your heart? What is God saying at this point? We look at Israel. We see that there's wars, rumors of wars. We look at what the Houthis are doing. We look at Iran. There's so many things happening. So what is the Lord putting on your heart?
Yeah, on one side of the equation, we are watching really prophetic things of you know, all in line, all in alignment with what the Bible says of end time prophecy, with Israel and the world, with the wars, with the players in the wars, with the world and Israel. Everything since really October 7th has just accelerated. So we're seeing that on the global an acceleration of prophecy of the alignment of that, of the moving forward. We're seeing that again with the entire the big picture with America, which is certainly part of that picture. America, we have seen, you know, an amazing shift, and you know, this really came with the election, and with that saying, it came with the prayers of God's people. And you know, I don't believe I've ever saw so many. And this is so why this prayer, our meeting at May, the week after this, is so crucial, because there was so much prayer surrounding this particular election, and there's been so much change. What we have now is a window. We have and I'm going to certainly speak of that. We have a window of time here. The window is, you know, we're seeing a rollback. We're seeing all these things, but the whole point is revival. If without revival, we will not. Will be undone. Only if we change the hearts can we change the future. So this is a chance we have. God gives nations chances, and nations that have turned away from Him. And we have been, up to this point, we've been watching a real massive descent of America away from God. And it's still, that war is still being fought. But the thing is that the Lord has given us a reprieve with, it's not about Donald Trump, it's about God's purposes. He's given us a reprieve right now. And that we cannot sit back. You know, we cannot be complacent. We have to more than ever pray for revival, work for revival, live in revival, do whatever we can for revival, because that is the only hope for America, and that is the window we have. The time is of the essence. We need to. It's not just about what Donald Trump does in the White House, you know, with the time he has. It's what we do, God's people, where we are in the time that we have.
Well, we definitely cannot trust in the political side of our nation to do what needs to be done. Without question, that revival is so needed, and so glad that God has literally raised you up, Rabbi, for this season. I am so blessed that God has so led and that you are going to once again come to the Treasure Coast. I know some might say, well, you know, why would Rabbi Kahn come back to the Treasure Coast again? But the point is that Israel is a focal point of everything that's coming together. I mean, the last book, The Dragon's Prophecy, we want to talk about some new things that's coming, but if we can jump back to this, this book actually dealt with end-time prophecies, and I read this, I guess it's been, what, about a year ago, but it's still so relevant.
I don't think we've ever seen. I've been blessed by the Lord that the books have been bestsellers, but this one, like, just it became the number one book in America and maybe the world, because I think there's such a hunger. Because I've never written a book so much linked to end time prophecy. And again, you know, we are in this period where we're watching. You know, the Bible says in the end times, number one, there's going to be you'll know you're in the end times when you see the nation of Israel back in the world. That's the first thing. And that should not have happened. That's against all odds. It's still crazily remarkable, miraculous that there's an Israel in the world after 2,000 years. So we're in that generation. That's number one. But also, the Bible says that all the nations of the world are going to be gathered, are going to be, again, focused on Israel, obsessed with Israel. We got that. Are going to be against Israel. We have that. You know, ultimately leading with Armageddon. So that's happening. It talks, you know, an amazing thing, because the Bible speaks about, actually, you know, specific nations in Ezekiel 38 that are actually going to be part of an invasion of Israel. And the amazing thing is, I mean, that is still yet to come, but the amazing thing is they never have, these particular nations, but they, for the first time ever in human history, that these nations that are mentioned by Ezekiel actually took part in the invasion, the Hamas invasion of October 7th. We crossed a prophetic line. You know, it's never happened before. And the other thing is that it says that Iran is going to be in the world, is going to be an enemy of Israel, is going to attack Israel. Well, that's never happened. Iran has never attacked Israel directly until this past year. So these are prophetic first. So we are truly in prophetic times. I think people sense that. I think even unbelievers sense that. And these are the things that, you know, Jesus, not only the Hebrew scriptures say, Moses said, but Jesus said, you know, that have to happen before he comes. You know, Jesus said, you know, you will not see me again, Jerusalem, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, he's talking to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So for that to happen, number one, the Jewish people had to survive for 2,000 years. Well, they did, against all odds. Number two, they had to come back to the land of Israel. Never happened before. They did, against all odds, they did. Then they had to come back to Jerusalem because he said it in Jerusalem. And so in 1967, they did. You know, it even implies the resurrection of the Hebrew language, because he's quoting from the Hebrew prophecies, the Hebrew Psalms. So you know, even that came back, and now Jewish people are coming back beginning to come back to Messiah Jesus. So we are living in truly prophetic, amazing times, and we got to be ready, and we have to know the signs of the times, and we have to know how to stand in such a time as this.
Rabbi, the Dragon's Prophecy is one of several books that just bestsellers in America, and of course that's been the case with the message. And I know that we have many listeners today that have not yet been exposed to all that's in the Dragon's Prophecy. And so, what out of all of your books, what made this book different, and why is it relevant for people today to read? Now, I know you're just speaking to some of those points.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, Jonathan, I've never written a full book touching end time prophecy. I mean, I write, you know, people would say, you know, these are prophetic books, and I do touch upon, you know, the end times of the end time prophecy, but this one, never have I so much done that. I mean, there are things, you know, and by the way, I wasn't planning on writing this. I was writing another, I was working on another book, and the Lord interrupted me, and I was praying, praying about what to write, and I see this dragon, red dragon. I know what this is from Revelation 12. And there are actually things happening in Revelation that are in the book of Revelation that actually tie in with what is happening in the world right now. And it's not hype, it's real. And there are ancient prophecies that are moving forward now. And so, you know, more than any other book, the Dragon's Prophecy is, you know, really the mystery of the end times. But not just speaking theoretically or, you know, doctrinally, we believe this is going to happen, but what is actually happening now that we're all part of, that we have witnessed in many ways, and that is propelling the world to the events of the Bible for the last days. So I think that's why it's resonated, because, again, even non-believers are saying, what's going on in the world? This is crazy. You know, it's like there's a breakdown. What's happening? And there's a sense that literally among unbelievers that these are the last days.
So the invasion of Hamas into Israel, and that whole aspect of evil, we've seen evil on our current stage and in the news, and I believe maybe a lot was kind of tamed down just for the general audience, but we really did see evil, and some people struggle with the idea of that. I'm shocked that so many people want to believe in a heaven, but they don't have any belief in hell. They may believe in God, but they don't want to believe there's a devil. So how does that, I mean, this is still current events because the war is still going on. How does this Hamas and the whole aspect of how we look at good and evil tie into some of the revelation that this book tackles?
Well, the first thing is that what happened is, I mean, nothing's out of God's control, and what happened, you know, was actually even the fulfillment of a mystery. I'll put it this way. I was speaking at my congregation, which is Beth Israel here in New Jersey, and we have Friday night and we have Sunday morning, and so services. So Friday night, it's a Friday night, and I'm led to speak that night on a mystery from the Bible that, from really as far back as the beginning of the Bible, that when you apply this mystery and you move it, it actually foretold or ordained that there would be an invasion of Israel. The invasion, it would take Israel by surprise. The invasion would happen in the year 2023. The invasion had to happen in the month of October. It had to happen on a Saturday. It had to happen on a Hebrew holy day. And it had to happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. Well, the first Saturday of October of 2023 fell on, pinpointed the date, October 7th, 2023, the exact date that Hamas invaded. Now, I'm sharing about this mystery on this Friday night at Beth Israel. The next morning, it came true. The next morning. And so this is what really began, that what we are seeing is not, number one, it's not an accident. It's not out of control. You know, it's not, even though there's evil in a sense is out of control, but overall God's in control. And there are mysteries in the Bible, and even, you know, that not only, you know, reveal, it says that God reveals before things happen, but also that, I mean, there are some of the mysteries in the Dragon's Prophecy came true after I finished the book. You know, so things have continued to come true. There are certain things, according to this mystery, that we may even be able to know of the future, you know, before it happens. And so, I mean, specific events within the context of biblical mystery and biblical prophecy. The other thing is what you mentioned about evil. You know, there are a lot of people who believe in God but don't believe in the devil. And one reason is maybe they picture, you know, this cartoonish depiction with, you know, a guy in a red suit with you know, a pitchfork and all this stuff. The devil is very real. You see, you know, one of the things is that you know, you can't explain certain things without the real diabolical evil. Even the word diabolical, that comes from the word, you know, the Greek, which is the word for the devil, diabolos. You know, so the thing is that what happened on October 7th, it wasn't just natural, it wasn't just political, it wasn't, you know, a cultural, it was demonic. You know, what they did was demonic. There is a real enemy. And the fact that it came against Jewish people, that's not an accident. I mean, think about, like, what is the greatest evil that we've probably ever seen on this planet? The Holocaust. And it's no accident that the Holocaust was set against the same people. the Jewish people. That's not an accident. You know, the people of the Bible, not an accident. It's telling you, it's telling us there's something more going on here. And, you know, when I mentioned that, you know, I'm praying about the, you know, the book, and this is how I was led to do, write the Dragon's Prophecy, is in Revelation 12, it speaks about a dragon, and now it's a symbol, but it's a symbol of the enemy, the dragon. And the thing is that, you know, the dragon wars against a woman. Now, the woman represents Israel. So this is 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation. The dragon is warring against the woman with 12 stars around her head, like for the 12 tribes. And so it's saying that there's a war of the enemy or the devil against the Jewish people. I mean, he's against many people, but more than any people, he wants to wipe them out. Why? Because he exists to destroy the purposes of God, and the Jewish people exist to fulfill them. So there's going to be a war. And so if you want to understand what's... it's amazing. The Bible lays this all out thousands of years ago, and yet most of this has come true after the Bible, that you'd expect that just by this mystery, the Jewish people would be the most warred against people on planet Earth. They would be the most hated, persecuted. You know, why is that? Every generation, I mean, ancient times, modern times, you know, every generation, doesn't matter. And the names keep changing. You know, the enemies keep changing, and the reasons keep changing. But because it's not about that. It's that the enemy knows that if he can destroy the Jewish people, he can stop the purposes of God. He can stop the coming of the kingdom. He can stop Messiah coming. If he could destroy them, he can, but he's been trying. And so you want to understand, you know, October 7th, Hamas. You want to understand Hitler. You want to understand the Third Reich. You can't explain this stuff naturally. It is supernatural. And you know, the very history of the Jewish people, it bears witness, testifies that God is real. They would not exist if God was not real. But the thing is, on the other hand, it also testifies that the devil is real as well. Otherwise, you know, Jewish history wouldn't be what it is. And so, you know, the first anti-Semite wasn't some leader, political leader. The first anti-Semite was an angel, you know, a fallen angel. And that's why, you know, this phenomenon never ends, you know, because the devil doesn't die. So what we're watching in the world is actually bearing witness that what we read in the Bible, and even if you're listening and you haven't been a believer, the Bible is real. It's true. What it said is coming true, what it says will come true, and what's happening right now bears witness that it is truly the Word of God.
So you write that Hamas appears in the Bible. How is that?
Yeah, well, you know, we hear Hamas. I mean, even, you know, even the Bible has the answer to that, because, you know, Hamas, you know, is a strange word, because first of all, it's Arabic. And on one hand, and it means, it's an acronym, means the Islamic Resistance Movement, and in Arabic, Hamas, the word means zeal or fervor. But at the same moment, what's strange about it, it's an Arabic word, but it's also an ancient Hebrew word at the same moment. And in Hebrew, it means something different. In Hebrew, the word Hamas means evil, violence, and destruction. And that's exactly what Hamas is. So think about that. Hamas is named, bears the name, that means evil, violence, and destruction. That's exactly what they are. But on top of that, the word actually appears in the Bible. Everyone, you know, who reads the Bible, Hamas is in there. You wouldn't see it. You might not know it because it's in Hebrew. But it's there. And I'll give you an example. That's one of the things I bring out in the Dragon's Prophecy to reveal this. In the Bible, it says, Lord, save me from the men of Hamas. Number one. Then it says, you know, Hamas kind of, you know, dwells in underground in those tunnels. Well, it says in the Bible, thousands of years ago, Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth. It says in the Bible that when it says that there's bloodshed, crimes of bloodshed in the land, because Hamas dwells in the city. Well, it's exactly what's happened. And it says, you know, there's much more, but I'll give you one more in that. It says that, you know, when the Lord reigns, when Messiah Jesus reigns, it says in Isaiah, one of the promises that's going to be of his kingdom for Israel, it says to Israel, listen, it says, in that day, no more shall Hamas be heard in your land. I mean, amazing, but it's all in the Bible.
You give a You give us a chapter in the Dragon's Prophecy that's called The Colors of the Apocalypse. That word apocalypse, I guess different people probably most have heard it. What is that chapter about? What is the colors? What is this all about?
Yeah, the apocalypse is another name for Revelation, for the book of Revelation. And when we think of the apocalypse, you know, it's about the end, and all, you think about all the things that are in the book of Revelation, all the calamities. Well, the apocalypse has colors. You know, when you read about the four horses or the four horsemen, it says the first horse was white, the second was red, the third was black, and the fourth was pale green, or in Greek, chloros. We get the word chlorine from that. Well, you know, those are the colors of that are going to typify the entire book. But the thing is, what do they represent? Well, white represents conquest, and that would speak of war in some ways, but a conquest. Then red is definitely war and violence, and it says that it is. It's war. The black represents famine, hunger, famine. And the green, or pale green, represents death. See, so that's what you have. Now, the amazing thing is, the colors of the apocalypse have actually been appearing in the world, and particularly in the last 2 years, or even less than that. And the thing is that, how? Well, wherever there is hatred for Israel, or rage in Israel, rage against Israel in the world, and that's what happened. Remember, after October 7th, you know, you'd expect the world would, you know, be so much behind Israel. But immediately, even before there was war, immediately, there were all sorts of demonstrations around the world basically calling for Jewish blood, more Jewish blood. I mean, crazy. But wherever those gatherings happen, those rage against Israel, the colors of the apocalypse appear. And the reason is they happen around a banner, and the banner is the flag of Palestine. And the flag of Palestine is white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse, the colors of the apocalypse. And the amazing thing is that virtually every nation that has those colors as the colors of their flag, it is actually marking that nation as an enemy of the nation of Israel, the colors of the apocalypse.
Well, I know our listeners, as you're listening today, you're thinking about where we are in prophetic history, and we are watching the fulfillment and the playing out of the end of days. I actually have in my hand here in the studio two copies. I would like to make these available to the first two callers that call in. They're signed copies. Rabbi, when you were in town last, you signed these copies. These are signed copies, and we would like to give them to the first couple callers that call in and say, I would like to have this book to read or to put into the hands of somebody that might be open to reading it. And so we have two books available. That number, 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And there's a caller calling in right now. We only have two available today. Thank you so much, Rabbi, for making these available with your signature. And so these we're going to give out today.
My blessing, yeah. And for those and you know, for those who will get it, congratulations. This is the Dragon's Prophecy. But for those who can't, it's, you know, you can get it. You know, the Dragon's Prophecy will be everywhere. Amazon, you can get it. You know, it's all over. But get that free one for the next one. There's one more out there.
We only have two.
What?
We only have two copies. We have two copies.
Yeah. So get the two where those are there. But for everybody else, you can get, just go to Amazon, go somewhere, ever, it's going to be there. But the subtitle is Israel, the Dark Resurrection and the End of Days, and because that's where we are. It's amazing. And what I did right now is, and Jonathan and I are doing, is we just touched on a few. There is so many mysteries here, but I wanted to touch there because we're also going to get to other things as well.
Yeah.
But don't miss getting that. It's really that's what it allowed me, and not that I knew all these things, but it allowed me to, when I was speaking the night before October 7th, I'm speaking about the mystery of what's going to happen. So that's part of it. You know, the Lord does let us, does give us, you know, an idea of what's coming.
All right, once again, May the 1st, the National Day of Prayer at the Mid-Florida Event Center on the Treasure Coast of Florida. There's going to be a gathering of leaders that are going to be in worship and prayer, probably starting as early as 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock. But at 7 o'clock, Rabbi Khan, you are going to be with us right here on the Treasure Coast. It's going to be a one evening event at 7 o'clock. And so when you're in town, we will also have, I'm sure, some of your resources at that event. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. I'll have the books there. I will have the Giant's Prophecy and other books. You guys are always amazed. And we'll also have what I do. And you know, I do it, you know, and I'll sign them. I'll meet you guys. I'll do this. I'll sign your books. But I'm hoping people get it, not just for themselves. Get it for people in your life, as you were alluding to, Jonathan. Give it out to people who need to be saved or need to be ready or need to know how real God is. All the books do that in one form or another. But I will have a number of the books there, and I'll also have what I don't, which isn't available anywhere pretty much. It's in the Amazon, which is the uncensored, you know, the Dragons are obviously uncensored, which is the DVD album, which is filled with all sorts of incredible stuff. So we'll have that too, and that I only make available where I speak. So yeah, I always look forward to meeting everybody as much as I can. And it was crazy last time.
It was.
I sat down with Israel, and it was crazy. It was. So many people coming at the books, but I'll be there, and we'll meet you there. So you know, it's a joy for me to do that.
Well, and we are looking forward to that. And again, if you're looking to make plans for the National Day of Prayer, this is a family event. It's going to be in the evening, so all of your family can come. We will have a gathering of our leaders from the community that will have business leaders, we'll have civil leaders, as well as a large representation of the church leadership that are up and down the coast of Florida. And if you're down south, you're in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, Okeechobee, over around Clewiston, Belgrade, around the lake, or you're up north into St. Lucie County, Indian River County, Vero Beach, Fort Pierce, up in Johns Island. All of those areas are within reach without much of a problem at all. You can take the interstate right into the area, shoot right over to the Mid-Florida Event Center. Again, that's coming up May the 1st. And Rabbi Khan's going to have a lot of resources with him that night, but now you can go and purchase these, of course, at any bookstore or go online. That is great. I guess we kind of need to jump forward a little bit, Rabbi. You know, before the election, you helped lead an event that was on the National Mall in Washington. What was that event really for, and what happened? What was the significance of that?
Yeah, it was in many ways. I mean, first of all, and Lou Engel, if you know him, he had the vision of this and came to me, and you know, and I knew this was prophetic and it was the Lord. This is in many ways the sequel to The Return, which was on the National Mall a number of years before that. And this was, you know, it was less than 30 days before the election. And the focus was, you know, women. It was called the Million Women event. And it was, you know, I mean, it was a massive amount of people, and it was people taking part all over the country and beyond. And it was, you know, a call for repentance, like the return, but like the next one. And here in view of the election coming up. And, you know, one of the things, well, let me back up for, well, just a little with the return, because we one of the focuses on the return, this is in 2020, was let me go even more. In the return of the gods, I speak of three principalities, or three gods or entities, which are dominating America, and one of them is Moloch, and that, of course, is linked to, you know, child sacrifice. And at the return, you know, we touched on everything. It was repentance and prayer and God answered, but there was a strong focus and burden on the unborn and the killing of the unborn, which is Moloch. And are, which I was led to do that, you know, which Jeremiah did, you know, when he was looking at all the valley of Hinnom, where they all the children they had sacrificed. So it had that heavy.
It was powerful. There.
And what was it?
It was powerful. That was a powerful demonstration.
Well, yeah, I knew, you know, Jonathan, I wasn't planning initially, but I knew, it just came to me, I had to get it, and I actually went down to a potter's house, like Jeremiah did, and got it, and wow. I knew I had to do that, and that's linked to the children, and the blood of the children, and then later on, I said, okay, now we're going to seal this, you know, I knew we had to seal everything, it was around 5 o'clock, and we're going to seal all the prayers with the sounding of the shofar, so I asked whoever had shofars come on the stage, there were 6 men, and they had tallies, and they sounded the shofar. When I said, now let the power of God, that we seal all the prayers, let the power of God go forth. And I said, go. And they sounded at that second, and everybody shouted like Jericho. It was massive. At the same moment, at the same time, it was that day of the return, that day, that on the White House lawn, President Trump chose that day to set in motion the nomination of Amy Barrett, which was to set in motion the overturning of Roe versus Wade, because it was that one vote, she was the one vote that did. So at that very day that we're praying that, begins the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And it wasn't just the day. It was the very hour when we sealed those prayers in the Trump flow, and it wasn't just that. It was the very minute, and when we looked at the video, it was the very second that I said go,
amazing,
and the trumpet sounded, that was the very second that President Trump opened his mouth and began the setting in motion of Roe versus Wade being struck down. Amazing. It's like the breaking of the altar. So
yes.
And that's Moloch. Okay, so I'm just saying this quickly for that. Now, that's the one. But now the next, going kind of backwards, rolling back the in the return of the gods of this dark trinity of gods, the next one is Ishtar. Well, this event that we had in Washington, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't there at the beginning planning. I was there planning it with Lou after. But, it already had the date, which was Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day of the year, the day of repentance and casting out sin. And the focus was women and, you know, praying. And I realized this is the next one. This is Ishtar, which is a goddess. It's a female thing. And the heavy focus of that event, and I wasn't planning all these things here, the heavy focus of the event was basically linked to the goddess Ishtar. See, Ishtar is the goddess of sexual immorality and of literally the bending of gender. You know, the calling, actually in ancient times it says she turns men into women and women into men. She blurs the distinction. Well, that is the spirit that's been taking over our culture. And there's so much to that, I won't go in, so much to that. But the thing is, that's all there. And so the thing is that this event was more on that. And this time I was led that we needed to smash the altar of Ishtar. And so there was set up on the stage an altar, this altar representation of Ishtar. And as later on in the event, similar to what happened with the return, I'm led to have a sledgehammer, and I'm praying. You know, Yom Kippur is about casting out the sin and the evil from the land, and I'm leading prayers to cast out that spirit. And that, by the way, that agenda has never been turned back. The LGBT, the whole thing has never been turned back. But we're praying in faith. And then I lift up the hammer to smash, and actually when it comes down, the hammer bounces back up. You know, I said, Lord, you got to make this work. I do it one more time, and the whole altar smashes apart, and people are praying. And the thing is, less than 30 days later comes the election. And in that election, Donald Trump is brought back to office. And this time he does what he never did before. What he does, he starts rolling back that agenda of Ishtar all over. The gender confusion, the mutilation of our children, the pushing of this ideology all over. I mean, he's still doing it all over. That has never been rolled back ever in America, I mean, until then. And so what we did was, again, it was a prophetic act. And the thing is that, you know, it was the smashing of the altar of Ishtar. But now what Donald Trump has been doing in our culture, he's been breaking the altar of Ishtar on a actually seeing that. So it's amazing. And a lot of this, Jonathan, I don't, like, you know, going into the things, I don't always know these things, but God always confirms, it's like, yeah, look at this. That's why we did it. That's why the focus was that. And God heard the prayers of that gathering, just like he heard the prayers of the return that day. But, and not just that gathering, everyone who's been praying for this, you know. So it is, you know, an awesome thing that's happening. It's still, the answer is still revival, because without revival, we can roll it back, but it's going to get, without revival, they'll undo it. So that is why, again, it's so important that we have the gathering on May 1st, on the National Day of Prayer, and onward, and that we pray as never before. So that's why. So it was, again, God is amazing, and God is in control.
It is absolutely tremendous what God is doing, and I know so many families are impacted by this whole transgender movement in the schools, and thank God we have leadership. But again, without revival, you cannot legislate morality. It has to come from a transformed heart, for sure. What about Jehu? You know, this is something I know you address in the book. And how does that relate to our president, President Trump, and where we are right now? How does that all tie together?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, the Jehu mystery is particularly in the paradigm, and some of it in the Josiah Manifesto, because it keeps continuing. You know, it's amazing. Donald Trump, and I may touch on this on that night. You know, Donald Trump, without knowing it, is following the biblical template of Jehu. And Jehu was, you know, wild. He was unpredictable. He was not a politician. He was a fighter. Everything is Donald Trump. You know, Jehu stood against, in order to come to power, he stood against a female leader. You know, actually, Jehu had to, in order to come to power, you know, he had to defeat the nation's former first lady. Well, Donald Trump came to power by defeating the nation's former first lady. And the thing is that you know, there are so many things. Jehu made an alliance with the religious conservatives of his land in order to come to power. Well, that's exactly what Donald Trump did. Jehu came to the capital city with an agenda to drain the swamp. You know, Donald Trump. You know, Jehu. I mean, it's like amazing. And right now, there's so much to this. I'm not gonna. Maybe we'll touch base on that night. But the thing is that there is so much to what is happening right now. You know what Jehu did? Jehu purged the government. He dismantled, you know, the equivalent of government agencies of the House of Ahab back then. I mean, amazing. And that's exactly. I mean, that. Donald Trump is fulfilling the template of Jehu now in these ways more than ever. I mean, it's amazing what he's doing with the rolling back, with the purging, with the firing, with all, you know, all this stuff with Elon Musk. That's all the modern day manifestation of the template of Jehu. So that, you know, Jehu was appointed by God, and it's not about, it wasn't about Jehu. Jehu was a mix. You know, he had good, he had bad, but he was used as a vessel of God. And that's what the mystery of Donald Trump is all about. And it's not about him. It's about what he's being used for. And that is, you know, Jehu rolled back the agenda of Baal in his nation. He rolled back, that struck down the House of Ahab, which would be the equivalent today of the woke DEI, all the anti-biblical ideologies. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is. It's rolling it back. You know, and where this goes, depending, we have to pray for Trump. Actually, you know, it was before the election. I was led in the summer. I start feeling this burden to give a word to Donald Trump, and then, you know, in October, this is as the election is coming closer, I was invited to go to an event where Donald Trump was going to be there. And I was asked to be one of the speakers there, and I was the last speaker, you know, before Donald Trump, and he was in the building, and I'm led to give the word. I mean, it was a condensed form of the word, but I give this prophetic word, you know, I mean, Democratic that it's a charge to Donald Trump. And the thing is, I believe it was the beginning, the thing is that 8 days later, he was elected. And it was saying, you know, with God putting you back, it's going to be for this reason, this reason, and this reason. And yet, so the thing is that it actually, maybe if we're able, it's like 3 minutes, maybe I'll even play that word, you know, on the night, on at our gathering on May 1st, because it's about what we need to pray for. We need to pray for Trump. We need to, President Trump. We need to pray for the government. We need to pray for America. But we need to pray for him. He's a vessel. And he can do what God's calling or not. So we have to pray that he does, because if he does, it's going to be amazingly powerful. So we have to all pray for revival and for God to have his way.
Well, once again, you're listening today. This is an interview with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and we are so looking forward to May the 1st, as this being another regional, statewide impact, not just a gathering of leaders here in the Treasure Coast for prayer that's going to start, worship that's going to be happening that afternoon about 5:30 leading into 6 o'clock. But at 7 o'clock, Rabbi Kahn, you're going to be with us. And as God has given breath to his word through you, and I know we're vessels, I know you're a vessel, but I really early on heard that you were a shofar in the hand of God being blown by the wind of the Holy Spirit. And I sense that this is part of, this is the assignment that I see God bringing to pass. You just spoke a little bit about the significance and where we're supposed to be right now. Well, I believe right now, May the 1st, is going to be an opportunity for us to come together with open ears and open heart and coming in faith to receive a fresh word from the Lord for not just those of us who seek to honor God in leadership in Florida, but across the nation. So May the 1st, you're listening, put it on your calendar, May the 1st at the Mid-Florida Event Center. It is located in Port St. Lucie, easy access from 95 or the Turnpike. You can travel from Miami, Lauderdale. I know we always have guests that come in from around Lake Okeechobee up into Indian River County. And so we are looking to pack the room out. You can go to TC Alliance, and you can online, and you can find information about how to make a donation and get tickets for you and your family, your church, your small group. But this is coming up on May the 1st. Okay, Rabbi, back to you. We have a couple things here more that maybe we can talk about as far as just encouragement for God's people. But before we do our closing stuff, tell me about the book. It's Harbinger, the Ancient Mystery that Holds Secrets of America's Future. It looks like maybe it's an illustrated, maybe like a comic book illustration. Tell me about this. What is this?
Yes, the Harbinger is the first book I ever wrote, and the subtitle, for those who, if anyone doesn't know it, it says The Ancient Mystery that holds the Secret of America's Future. And this is you know, in the last days of ancient Israel, God gives a warning to them, because they're apostatizing from him in every way, and he gives a warning, and nine harbingers or signs, prophetic signs, appear in the land, and they're warning America, or actually they're warning Israel back then, to turn back to God or judgment comes. Well, the same nine harbingers, the same nine signs that appeared in ancient Israel warning it of judgment have now appeared on American soil, and with exact manifestations. I mean, amazing. And some have involved even American leaders, some involved objects or ceremonies, and they some appeared in New York City, some in Washington, D.C. And the thing is, they're warning of if America doesn't turn back to God, it's heading the same way, which is judgment. And so that's why, again, this is so crucial that we pray. But and the thing is, it hasn't stopped coming true. The harbingers have not stopped coming true. And the thing is that, and so now, so this went out. Now, now for the first time ever, they're putting out, the harbinger is going to come out in a new form. And this is a form to reach all of these people who wouldn't be reached. Some who wouldn't read books, see them. They're graphic novels. So the pages can look like a comic book because they're illustrated, you know, but it's a full book. I mean, it's a full book. So The Harbinger, for the first time ever, is going to come out as a graphic novel, which means that it's going to be, you're going to see everything. You're going to see the prophet. You're going to see Noriel, who's receiving a word. You're going to see the harbingers. You're going to see the parallel between the ancient, which is something I couldn't do with words, the ancient and the modern from you know, being manifest in America, the harbingers. So you're going to see all of it. They did an amazing job. So it's, and also for Christians. I mean, I saw one copy, and everybody in my house wants it, so I'm hiding it.
I want a copy.
It's an amazing, you know. So listen, I didn't come up with the idea to do it, but I'm amazed by it. It's an amazing gift to get. It's an amazing gift to get to your friends, to get to your children, for the young, for the old, you know, for people, for this generation, but also for people who maybe wouldn't read the book. They're going to read this. It's an amazing gift. So it is. It's technically coming out in June, like a little over a month from now. But you can pre-order it and get the first copy. You can be the one to get the first copies of them by just going to Amazon or wherever you get books, Christian books. It's there. It's going to be everywhere. You'll see the cover, but it's going to be a real tool to be used for God, to give to anybody. They're going to read it. That's the thing. And you know, the Harbinger leads to salvation, has a salvation message and call right in there. So that's in the book as well. So it's exciting. It's going to be, I think it's going to be really great.
And the movie, The Harbinger, that came out, that is still available?
Yeah, The Harbingers are Things to Come. This was the movie which was put into movie theaters, actually, by the grace of God. The day it came out, it was the number two movie in America. So it came out, and this is the continuation of the first continuation of The Harbinger, because again, it hasn't stopped. I mean, it's gone up into everything, even into COVID, even into, you know, it's actually the mystery behind all of that. It's amazing, you know. But so it has continued, and they did a very powerful job on it. And so yes, you can get it on DVD or download or MP4. If you just, I guess, go wherever you would get DVDs or Amazon, but just, you just type in the Harbingers of Things to Come, and that is it's a full movie and it's powerful. And what's also cool, because my interest is in getting the word out and getting people saved and getting people ready.
That's it.
So it's a great thing to give to anybody, because people who won't read the book, they will play it. You know, or you can show it in your house, you can show it in your church, but people will come, and people will get it, and you can give it to them. They'll watch it. But it's very powerful.
Rabbi, a longtime friend of mine, his son in his early 20s had sort of lost his way. The dad took his son to see the Harbinger movie when that came out. God used that to totally transform his life, and that young man is now... he is pursuing God in his daily life. It really awakened him, and I know that could be told many times. Let's move to the next thing. I know we're going to run out of time here. This hour is not going to give us enough, and I'm glad you're coming on May the 1st.
I look forward to it.
By the way,
John,
go ahead.
It's always an amazing time. I am always so blessed by that event, because there is such a spirit of unity, prayer, people from all different churches, denominations, believers, all gathered together, I mean, for this purpose. It's as such an anointed time. And so I encourage everybody to go there. I'll meet you there, but it's going to be so important to be there.
Want to pack it out. We can only seat, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200, whatever. But you'll be able to see from anywhere. You're going to have good seating. There's plenty of parking. And again, this is May the 1st. This event will start somewhere around 6 o'clock. We may start 5:30 or so with worship and early prayer, and others will be coming in. But we're going to have powerful prayer over the nation for an hour, and then at 7 o'clock, Rabbi Khan, you will be with us, and we're looking forward to that. Okay, I'm looking at, it looks like a book cover, The Rise of the Gods. What is coming?
This is Jonathan. this is the first time I'm ever speaking about it because this is an advanced speaking. This is a sneak peek and there's a
sneak peek
because technically I haven't even finished it. so this is
it's
a
coming.
Real scoop here. You know, this is the next book. I haven't announced it. I haven't done the YouTube on it. I haven't. So this is just for your listeners here.
Okay.
But although they may have an image on it on Amazon or Christian Books, they may have. I'm not sure. So you might be able to pre-order it. Even though I'm still writing it. You may be able to be the first to pre-order it. But this is gonna be explosive. This is in some ways a sequel to The Return of the Gods, which was explosive, but also coming together with a paradigm, because even what's happening now in our government and Donald Trump and, you know, the mystery of the gods, but actually behind what everything we are watching happening in America and Donald Trump, the election, what's happening now, everything. And what is the hope? It's explosive. It's going to be explosive. And again, I'm telling you that because I'm still finishing it. But you probably can order it before I even finish it, if that's possible. You know, so it's The Rise of the Gods. That is the next book. So you're the first for me to
coming.
Hear it. For me to
it's it. Coming. It's coming. It's coming. All right. As we're kind of in the last 5, 7, 8 minutes, something like that, what encouragement do you have the people of God? And I want you to be able to close with a time of prayer, as you often do, over our state. We're believing, God, that our state will lead in surrendering and humility and opening our hearts for a great awakening and revival.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, and this is, you know, from everything we spoke about, from the dragon's prophecy on one end, and time prophecy, and from this with America on the other, ultimately, the first thing is telling us that, listen, what's happening is not out of control. God is in control, and God's purposes will be accomplished. You know, a million things may happen against God and his purposes, but his purposes will be accomplished. When you look at, you know, like, for instance, when you look at all the craziness that's gone on in the world, I mean, the last half century, and America and all that, yet throughout it all, God was fulfilling his ancient prophecies of Israel, you know, showing that he doesn't stop, and all these things are happening, it doesn't stop. So that's the first thing. God is in control. The dragon is not in control. You know, in the end, in the book of Revelation, there's a dragon, but there's also a lamb. And the lamb, you know, you think you'd expect with a dragon and a lamb, you'd expect the dragon to win against the lamb. But the lamb wins. The dragon does not. Good does win, and it prevails. And it says there, it says in the very vision and chapter that I wrote, that the dragon's prophecy comes from, Revelation 12, the dragon, it says in that very chapter, it says, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him. We do overcome. So even though it may look like we're the underdog, we're on the odds are against us, and the culture is overwhelming, and all these things are overwhelming, and the problem is overwhelming, we're on the winning side, and we got to remember that, and we got to fight like it, and we got to stand like it. And so we do win, and you will win if you fight and you stand with God. And the other thing is that on the other side of this is that, listen, you know, God heard our prayers. You know, God heard our prayers. You know, this election, you know, it's crazy what's happened in America. Great, and it's a different kind of crazy happening now, but it's what we prayed, and God heard the prayers. Donald Trump is not the answer, but he's used. The answer is God, and he will hear our prayers. And again, I may even share that too. I've seen history literally change through the prayers of God's people, the repentance and prayers of God's people. And so do not give up. Keep going. Keep fighting. You will win if you keep fighting. And your prayers are being heard, and they will be answered according to God's will. But he hears it. Your Heavenly Father hears it. He wants you to pray. And that's why it's so crucial what we're going to be doing on May 1st. And so don't, you know, pray. And beyond anything, pray for revival now, as never before. That's so crucial. And don't just pray for revival. Actually commit that you're going to live in revival. Because then revival begins, and you're going to be the first one to be blessed. So let's pray right now. Let's join together.
Thank you,
for
Father.
God's purposes. Lord, we just come together right now. We ask your hand, Lord, to be upon, first of all, everyone who is listening right now, wherever they're at. There are people listening who don't know you. And Lord, I pray for them that they would come to know you, they would come to be born again. Lord, that's what I ask, Father. Lord, each one listening would know you fully. And Lord, I ask for your people now listening. Lord, you know what they're dealing with. And Lord, I ask for your power for victory in the situation, power for breakthrough with that issue. Lord, the power of the Spirit to, Lord, accomplish your will in their lives for breakthrough, victory, and all that you have, Father. Lord, I ask, Lord, your blessing on Florida, Lord, as you have used it so powerfully in the past, use it even more so now. And Lord, we do pray for that event, Lord, on the National Day of Prayer on May 1st, Lord, at Treasure Coast. Lord, have your way, Lord. Use it powerfully to begin revival. Lord, we pray for revival, Lord. Whatever it takes, bring revival. Bring revival to this land, Lord. We ask revival, Lord. Bring revival to the schools, Lord of America, to the children of America, to the youth and the young of America, Lord, to the old, to the churches of America, Lord. Bring revival. Bring revival to the cities of America, Lord. Bring revival to the states, to Florida, to the coastlands, to the west coast, the east coast, Father, the north and the south, the heartland. Lord, bring revival, Lord, to the pastors. Yeah. Father, bring revival and pour your Spirit on Washington, D.C., Lord, upon the Senate, upon the House, upon the White House, Lord. Lord, have your way with Donald Trump, Lord, and accomplish your will, Lord. Mm-hmm. Have your way. We praise you, thank you, bless you, love you, Lord. Give you praise and honor, Lord. Thank Father, and we seek and we commit to be living truly. We want to live in revival, walk in revival, talk in revival, move in revival, fight in revival, overcome in revival, and have victory in revival. Mm-hmm. In the name above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world, Uchvod Yisrael, the glory of Israel, V'tikvat America, and the hope of the United States of America, mm-hmm. Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the King. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Rabbi, the Exodus, the Passover, the resurrection, and the fact that Franklin Graham is speaking and leading a service at the White House. What a weekend.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. What a great time for victory.
Amen. Well, we love you. We thank God for you, and we're looking for a picture at the studio so we can see you and your family, and we can keep you lifted high in prayer. May the Lord bless you, and we pray for safe travel and for May the 1st, the National Day of Prayer, that God would ordain that event for His glory. You're listening today. Put it on your calendar. Make sure that you go online, TCC Alliance, I believe it's .com, and you can find out more about the location, all that kind of information. And, of course, at that event, Jonathan Kahn, Rabbi Kahn, will be there. Have a lot of his supplies. You'll be able to get an autographed book if you're willing to wait in the line, which I think everybody was. And we're going to have a fantastic evening together. May the Lord bless you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Jonathan. I look forward to seeing you and seeing everybody. I'll see you. Keep up the great work that you're doing, and I'll see you guys soon.
Very good.
God bless you.
God bless. Goodbye.
Did you hear the good news? To run and hide, you can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Godfrey Electric Incorporated is a fourth generation.